the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Cause when them old boys raised on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat there, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you get access to not one, but three chat rooms. Woohoo! Anyway, you know, there's not too many games out there in this world that you can change the rules in the midstream of the game. It's really aggravating when you start playing a game and somebody decides to change the rules right in the middle of the game. Alright, what game am I talking about, you might ask? Well, it's this whole global warming game. I'm sitting here freezing my buttocks off by, you know, like got blankets on and everything because that so-called global warming's like freezing me. But, you know, every time we play this game, they keep changing the words, they keep changing the name of the game, they keep changing the games. So now it's not global warming. It's was climate change, and then it went to climate disruption, and now I don't know what it is this time around. But the cold is the new global warming, so to speak. Huh. So anyway. That's the game, man. You ain't supposed to change the rules in the midstream of the game. You can't change the science just because it ain't matching what you're saying there. You gotta have the, you know, you gotta stick to the rules, man. You know what I'm saying? Where I come from, we got rules. Anyway, back down to some seriousness, because we all know how that global warming / climate change / climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math doesn't add up, is a hockahooey. All you got to do is go outside with your earmuffs and look around, and you'll see all that white, snowy stuff that they call global warming on the ground. So, if you want to tell me it was going into the middle of an ice age, I might be more likely to believe your shenanigans as opposed to the planet's heating up and we're all going to fry. That kind of jazz. It's kind of hard to fry when you're freezing. Anyway, so we'll post a link over there into the chat rooms at shazizradio.com, and the deal is the plan. Woohoo! Hey, Thomas, you around? Thomas, wake up, boy.
No, I thought I was muted there, man. I was reaching to unmute it. I'm trying to chat here, and Chatango screwed up again. It won't let me type anything in that little widget that pops up for setting your name.
What a drag, man.
Well, that's a load of crap. I'm getting tired of that, man. Like, yeah. I can right-click and paste something in there, but if I type on the keyboard, it does nothing.
Well, I think Stephen Gibbons is in there telling everybody good morning and all. So I'll put him in a smiley face so he knows we got his message. Ta-da! Smiley face! Alright. I have put the call out to all the people of the alternative energy community to see what kind of response I can get. It says, calling all researchers. And if you go check out this link, you'll see that there is a picture of an engine, and this engine is basically, they're using, what do they call them, thermal cameras? Thermal imagers? Is that what they call those? No?
Yeah. Oh, no. I just noticed, by the way, that your awake radio chat still works.
Yeah, of course
it does. I can type in there just fine, but yours doesn't. I'm looking to see if the TCT one works.
I don't know, maybe you need to just, like, refresh.
No, I just came in here, man.
Oh. I don't know. Anyway, so, now we got the chat room sorted out.
You did?
I don't know.
I still can't type in yours.
All right, well, we'll talk about that later. We'll fix it. I can type in it, so. Just type in your wake chat. They'll get it. All right, so there's a picture on the plan.html of an internal combustion engine. And actually, it's got more than just that. It's actually got the, you can actually see the brakes. But there's a thermal image up there of all the heat loss through that entire deal. Now, what the doggone heck is going on? I got all these clicks and bleeps and stuff going on every time somebody hits the chat room. There's a little mute button on there if you don't like to hear that. You can mute all those sounds in those chat rooms.
Well, why aren't you doing that then?
I'm doing it now. Doggone it. What's the ruckus? Are you creating a ruckus?
I'm spreading the word about the Discord chat that,
oh, yeah,
that we've got, where we can actually have a larger communication system other than what's on Skype, because Skype has been horribly limiting. So, causing right. people all kinds of problems. You know that. You've been having lots of those problems.
Yep.
So.
Alright, well, I'm trying to do something here, and then we'll get back on the track here. This is terrible for live radio. I mean. What?
Copy that.
Alright, now, I'm logged in there. Now, Aha! There's the one that's doing it.
Which one was that?
One of them. That's, you know how aggravating that is? I think you're just typing message just to hear that. There's one right there.
The one down at the bottom of the TCT chat room. Actually, I'm getting a laugh while I'm diagnosing for you.
All right, I think I got them all. I think I got them all. They sounds never. All right, you got
to go.
All right, now, that's
can I do that to your little widget that plays the show when I come in here?
Maybe. Click on that one. Ever. All right, now try it. See if you get one.
It won't let me change the volume on this thing.
Who needs to change
the
volume?
Well, I'm going to block that thing, man.
All right. Yeah, that's why. Even on Skype, I always do that too. I always like block out all the little sounds that comes in every time you get a message. Otherwise, it'd be sound like you're sitting next to a slot machine when all your people are calling in, doing all that stuff. It's aggravating. Can we get back on the plan now, man?
I don't know, can we? All
right. So, what is the plan? And put the call out to all the researchers out there in the alternative energy community, because I have a plan. And if I can bring them all together and we can make this plan happen, we can not only build up some confidence in the alternative energy community, but we can actually move forward towards helping a lot of people out. The thermal image picture that I was talking about, you can look at this thermal image and heck, even the tires show a little bit of heat. So basically the back end of a race car, you can see where the different colors of in the thermal imaging depict the temperature in that particular portion of the engine or even the brakes. Surprisingly enough, the brakes look like they're red hot. It's pretty amazing. But that's what cars do, man. They develop friction and they produce a lot of waste heat. And so moving on right along, if you go down right underneath that, there is a picture of a GIF animation of a internal combustion engine. This seems like a four-stroke, single-cylinder little motor there. And it shows combustion and intake and all that, basically how the engine actually functions. You can actually watch the valves opening, closing, and doing what engines do. But the question was, what if I said we can make it better? Would you hear me out? Heat in the cylinder remains in the cylinder. Absolutely nothing gets wasted. Another little display down there, and how much fuel is really needed to run this engine. And so on. There's a little survey down there. So if you're interested in checking this out, jump over there to the Shazoo's chat room. Somebody posted the warning video contains contains cussing and heathen language. they posted the Global Warming Freaks video, I believe is the name of that video, where I explained to them how I feel about global warming. Anyway, that video really frustrates me because it did have a Benny Hill theme song in the background. So you could hear the Benny Hill music playing. Of course, somebody went out and bought up the patent or the copyright to Benny Hill and went around to every YouTube video that had that deal on there and, tried to leech money off of them. So I had to take the music out of it, so that took away from the actual funny of the video until you get to the part where I'm there with a shovel. Talking about what I'm going to do with that shovel.
Man.
Yeah. I thought he was getting ready to say something, but since you're not, I guess I'll go ahead and read this.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, on this deal, I'm going to go ahead and read it out for people who's listening and ain't going to click on the link or whatever. It says, Shaziz Mad Science to all researchers. Message to all researchers. I am by far the furthest outside of the box freethinker on the planet, at the very least in the alternative energy community, for the most part considered to be nuts by some, or maybe even by most researchers. I believe that so many more things are possible, and I also believe that we have every piece of the puzzle necessary to build the perfect generating systems that will, in fact, work in perfect harmony with nature. The world said we need a clean, renewable energy, green energy, alternative energy, and so on to combat what they claim to be climate change / global warming / climate disruption, or whatever to be called next week when the math does not add up. Regardless, there is a claim for the need. That is why they say. That is what they say. That is what they say, man. That's what they say, Thomas. Anyway.
That's what you say.
Yeah. That's what I say that they said. Just a he said, she said. I can't even. That sounds like something about the seashore. Went down by the seashore to pick up seashells or whatever. How fast can you say that without whistling? Anyway.
It sounds like a wordsmith apprentice went at it with a dull beaver.
Yeah. So, back to the city. Regardless, there is a claim for the need. That is what they say. I have watched all of you and have listened to you for years and commented on your works. By myself, I could never succeed in doing what needs to be done. I'm just a small piece of the puzzle that makes up the big picture, but I can see that if I could bring all of you together with your talents, skills, tools combined, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish together. Most of you, I believe, would love to see this knowledge in the hands of the people and not on the market for the very few who can afford it. What I am proposing is not rocket science, although we could go there as well if we chose to do so. If we could resolve a few minor issues for the average person, we could unlock the gates of oppression to the gates of freedom for all. People in need could be cared for unlike anything ever done by man in the history of time. I know it sounds like a tall order and to some not possible, but I have watched you for years. I have learned from you so much. The automobile was not done by one man alone. It took people like you to make it a reality. This is all I'm asking of you. If I put a live event together on a massive scale, will you help me promote it and join me at the table to, at the very least, hear me out for what I have to say? I will never ask you for money or anything of value except your time to hear what I have to say. If I try and fail, I respectfully promise to just go away and never bother any of you again. I truly believe in all of you what we could do together. I have chosen the most simple of projects just to prove to you all what could be done together. If I have not lost you by now and you are interested in moving forward, please contact me together with any and all suggestions for making this thing a reality. Peace, love to each and every one of you and your family. Shazis. So that's a lot to say.
And now for something completely not run on sentency.
Alright, well, I never claimed to be one of those individuals who can actually formulate the proper grammatical errorless paper or whatever, you know.
Yeah, me either. Like I said, you know, what I know now came from people heckling me for writing like you're writing there.
Yeah, well, what I know now you could fit in a on a sticky note.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should make it easier for you to be able to keep track of it.
Yeah, stick it to the wall in front of the door. That way, whenever you walk out, you have to see it.
Stick it on the corner of your monitor there, so every time you look at your screen, you can see it there.
Yeah. Or tape it to the corner edge of my glasses.
Wow. Now you're getting into HoloLens territory.
Oh.
Have a projection of it across the top of your glasses, so every time you look out your glasses, there's a floating image of the text that you know about.
As long as it don't end up being like a panda nag screen. Remember this. Hey.
You know, if you paid such and such, you wouldn't have to see this anymore.
Yeah. See, that's like extortion, man. It's like driving you slowly towards the edge of insanity by nagging you every time you turn around. Buy my product. Please buy my product.
You know what? I don't have a problem with that as long as you can uninstall it.
If you choose to use their product
and you still get nagged, then, you know, so be it. But when they set it up so that you can't uninstall it after you get it in there, that's when I think, honestly, they need to be held accountable, and you should be able to sue them for that.
Yeah.
Don't make it so that we can't remove something we don't want.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do something like that, you have to be very upfront with it. It has to be like the first thing that's mentioned on your site. If you install this, you cannot get rid of it without a complete wipe of your drive and reinstalling your operating system.
Like, right now, on Skype, there's a pop-up notification every single time a message comes in. If you don't have Skype, like if you got Skype minimized, this little pop-up screen just keeps on popping up, man, at the bottom of the deal. It's obnoxious, and after years of being tormented by Panda nag screens, now I got to figure out how to shut that off. I'm going to get me an anti-nag screen program. An anti...
So, yeah, dude, you're playing with fire there. You're going to get something that shuts down things that you don't want shut down. And then it'll start nagging you and say, ha-ha, try to shut me down.
Yeah.
I'm the shutter downer. I am the one who knocks.
So, yeah, there you go, man. There's another reason why artificial intelligence ought to be, like, you need to, like... maybe not make it to begin with, or if you're going to make it, keep it in a box. Because I'm just seeing that right now, that if there's an artificial intelligence that thinks they know better than I know for what I need or what I want to look at, you don't want to watch that. Look at this one instead. I have spoken. You know?
It'll shut off. It'll shut off your climate change videos because it's monitoring your blood pressure. And goes, whoa!
Yeah.
We're gonna turn this off because it's causing your blood pressure to go up. You can't watch that.
You're getting stressed. So mellow out, man. No, I just see all kinds of problems like that down the road. There, the computer's gonna tell you what you want to watch. There, long time ago, there used to be this doggone bird. It's a little program that you put on your deal to look like a little parakeet or something like that. And at first it's kind of neat, you know. You put this program on and he comes up and he talks and he shows you like suggestions and stuff like that. And then eventually this doggone bird takes over your doggone computer and starts opening up sites that you didn't even want to go to. It just takes you where it wants to go. You know, first it starts off asking, and then it, like, just kind of moves its into, like, you know, hey, check this out or else kind of thing. That's aggravating. It was kind of funny, though, because you could actually take your mouse and you could pick that bird up and shake him around and stuff.
Man, that sounds violent.
Yeah, well, whenever he takes you to all kinds of sites you didn't want to go to, sometimes you get, like, you got to pick him up, move him out of the way so you can see what it is you're trying to look at. Get out of the way, bird. Yeah. Anyway, I still got that program. It was pretty neat, but I uninstalled it on my older computers because it's just aggravating as heck. I can't even remember
that. Hey, noise alert. I'm getting ready to do something, so I'm going to mute myself. I'm listening, though.
All right.
That way you don't throw me under the bus while I'm kneeling down here to check on the engine on that under it.
All right, so anyway, the plan, if we could actually get this actually together, the whole concept of the plan is to be able to take an internal combustion engine, a whole bunch of different people together, and make this thing so super efficient. Now, I know this could be done because I know where all the flaws are inside the doggone internal combustion engine. And so I believe that if I could get the right crew together, we can actually modify any existing engine to not only run off of any type of fuel, but to be able to make this thing run so efficient, instead of using, you know, gallons of gas per day, you could get it down to maybe less than a gallon of gas per day. I mean, if you actually think about the basic science of how an internal combustion engine actually functions, And you look at it really good, step back and look at the big picture, you know where all the waste heat is. We got thermal imagers nowadays that can show you exactly where that engine is getting hottest. And the problem with heat is heat causes things to break down faster, causes more friction. And so with that said, if you can reduce the friction and you can make this thing run more smoothly and a lot cooler, then you can get this thing to not only last longer, but to have to use less amount of fuel. And if you can focus the energy of said motor, keep the heat where you want it, which is in the combustion chamber and nowhere else. See, that's the problem right now. You got an internal combustion engine that transfers the heat right through the wall into that engine. And so after running your engine for a while outside, you know, even if it's colder than heck outside, you run that engine for a while and there's certain parts of that engine you ain't going to want to touch because it's going to be hot. And I mean, it'll put a blister the size of Texas on your finger. And that's not something you want. So, anyway, I believe that it's fully possible to modify any existing engine out there with a few things that we've learned through basic science to make this engine so incredibly efficient that you can actually adjust the amount of heat that's actually inside that combustion chamber. There's a sweet spot in every single engine where at the perfect temperature that engine's running at its maximum potential. And so if you're exceeding that sweet spot, whether it be too cold or too hot, then that's when you start to have problems where the thing doesn't want to run right. It's not getting enough compression, it's not getting enough fire, or it's getting too much heat, which is basically wearing down the lubricant between the rings and the cylinder walls and causing your heat, causing your oil to get, the viscosity of your oil to thin out to the extreme to where now it's actually seeping around the rings and causing the engine to smoke. You know, or the oil is breaking down, the viscosity is breaking down to enough to where now, even with your lubricant, you're still causing damage to the cylinder walls because those rings are actually grinding on the side of the wall. You know, if you can look at this at a microscopic scale, the perfect engine is basically riding over a layer of real thin oil. You know, and there's certain types of lubricants that you can actually put in that will literally fill in little pits, little microscopic pits inside the cylinder. That way you always have a smooth surface for those rings and the piston to go up and down inside that cylinder. But even that, when the engine temperature gets to a certain degrees in there, even that can break down to some extent. So, you know, there's a lot of additives out there that they put, like the modern oil has a lot of synthetics to it. And sometimes, preferably, the synthetic oil is actually better than the just the regular, you know, oil that you normally put in your car. Because the synthetics have those, I can't remember what the heck it's called. It's made like that. They make it out of like cutting boards or something. It's like Teflon or something like that. It's really slick kind of material that they put inside that oil to make it withstand a lot higher temperatures.
Probably looking for the term fluorocarbon?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
They switched to that because they were originally with like Duralube using a nitrogen-based compound, and it was great whenever the engine was used on a regular basis, but you let the engine sit for too long and it would rust all over the inside of it because the oil would all drain off, leaving the nitrogen compound exposed. And nitrogen is a catalyst for rust.
See,
it assists
makes
the
a lot
oxygen
of sense.
And the iron bonding together to make rust off iron oxide.
So they went to the other one so that it wouldn't do that, right?
Yep.
Cool. Well, either way, I actually prefer using synthetic oils nowadays because it seems like it works better than the actual oil itself.
One problem with that, though, is that you're vaporizing that stuff, and if you think that breathing chlorine gas is a bad idea, if you think that drinking water with fluoridation in it is a bad idea, just imagine how much of that you're breathing in.
You mean of the synthetic oils?
Yeah. When it breaks down, you're literally breathing fluoridated air in.
Yikes. All right, well, see, I never claimed to be a chemist. But we got to, you know, we're going to have to, you know, research all that and practice safety, that's for sure.
Right.
But either way, we have the technology right now to literally build an internal combustion engine that, in some instances, could actually be self-lubricating using the proper type of materials. There was a magazine that they used to call Popular Science. I don't know if they're still in circulation or not, but there used to be. There was one article that I only saw it one time. I had found it one time since, but they had actually made a plastic engine. And they were talking about how this engine could actually be ran without no oil in it because of the way that it was designed. You know, obviously, if you're going to run it in a race car or any car for that matter for long term, you'd want oil in it. But in reality, there's certain types of materials that will slide across each other without creating friction like you would, you know, the normal engine, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. And so, essentially, it was a plastic motor. Why that particular article kind of up and disappeared, I have no idea. But I know I read it. I know I saw it. Found the article similar to it, at least later on. I had saved it in my bookmark somewhere. You can check that thing back out and throw a link in there. But anyway, regardless of all that, the materials that we make our engines out of right now, you know, there's some really impressive aluminum alloys that we make blocks out of. They still make some iron blocks, but for the most part, most of them's going to aluminum alloy blocks. And they seem to hold up to a lot of temperature.
I just sent you the link to that plastic engine article. It's actually saved on Google, so.
Cool.
Gonna blast that out to everybody on the super chat. More than welcome.
Yeah, let me see if I can find that link there. It's in the Skype, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, well, you just gotta click on the little bubble, the text bubble, to get to the chat portion, the text portion of our discussion right now.
Cool.
It reminds me why we don't have a group chat going. Where is everybody?
I'm amazed that you found that.
Literally 2 seconds on Google. I just typed in Popular Science plastic engine. Had a couple different things came up, but that was the direct article itself and it being saved, which...
Well, that's a giant link in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, either way, at least it's in there now. It's in the chat room, folks. Ford's Impossible Plastic Engine. How does a 152-pound, 318-horsepower plastic engine stand up to racing stresses? Ford will soon find out. And I'd say that's cool. All right? You think about that, what just said, a 152-pound motor. Now, I can't remember the actual weight of an engine block out there, but I know that an engine's probably a good 300 pounds at least. With all the accessories on there, what do you think? Maybe I need to Google that. Find out what the average weight of a 350 Chevy small.
I don't know, but you didn't put it in the TCT chat room, so I just put it in there and notated what it was. So I don't know if these people are actually listening to you in this channel either. So I'm going to go ahead and reiterate what that is underneath your link.
All right. Cool. All right, well,
that way they know what they're getting into, man.
Plastic engine looks like a conventional design at first glance. However, only those parts of the drawing that are blue represent metal components. Note unique manner in which the head block and structurally load oil pan are fastened together through bolts. Squeeze section together, against a composite laminate. Yeah, don't ever ask me to read that now. Alright, so anyway, see, the idea's been out there, man. This is pretty amazing. It's been out there for a long time. But either way, we got all kinds of exotic material. Some of these plastics out there can withstand a lot of temperature. You know, there's plastics that you can put in a microwave. Any other plastic would just melt. But you can put plastic bowls and stuff in a microwave, and it'll literally, the food inside of it gets scalding hot. You can even burn the food inside of it, and the plastic container, it's still good. That's pretty impressive, man. Oh, God, I scrolled too far down there. Now I can't see it. Alright, that's it. Tired of it. Let's see, what version was this? Windows 7? Windows 7's now on my list. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm still dealing with chat stuff, man. I can't do more than one thing at a time today for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with me today.
Oh. So that whole concept of multitasking just went down the deal.
And I'm making memes. Do it again.
Alright, so anyway.
I'm sick of it.
So am I. I'm getting rid of Windows 7. Yeah, you get used to one platform, and then Microsoft has to
do something. So, do we need to get you a ticket to go meet Bill Gates somewhere and go run up to him and go, Shazam!
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you ever seen those celebrity deathmatch cartoons?
I've heard about them, and I've seen stills of it, but I've never actually watched one.
Well, they're really rude, man. They show a lot of violence in there. But I was just thinking that whenever you said that, cage.
They are called a death match.
Oh, well, yeah. A cage match. Shazuz versus the global warming freaks and Bill Gates. That'd make a funny cartoon. So what? Maybe I might get beat up.
Maybe a celebrity death match between Bill Gates and... Dun, dun, dun. Your mama.
Yeah. Anyway, if it's against the global warming freaks, I definitely wouldn't get beat up because I got a lot of rage built up against the whole global warming deal. I think I'd win that one. But Bill Gates, he probably like studied Kung Fu and all that. He's probably going to beat me up. Anyway,
Turtle Fu?
Hey, check this out.
He does kind of look like a turtle.
On that same page that has that doggone plastic motor, there is an advertisement for Radio Shack, the biggest name in little computers, a division of Tandy Corporation, free TRS-80. Tell me more. Send me a free TRS-80 computer catalog today. So you could have got a TRS-80 computer back in that day, man. Got the little video game on there.
You made it sound like you were ready to send in and get yours today, man.
Man, if I found one of those catalogs, I would send it in. I like them TRS-80s. There's a lot less stress with a TRS-80 than the modern-day computers. And thing is, I still probably know how to use the doggone thing.
I'm saying until you hit that brick wall of what all you can and can't do with it.
Well,
I want you to try to broadcast your radio show from a TRS-80.
Well, I probably could, but it'd probably take me a month to say the word because it only had an 8-baud modem. Think about that.
Yeah, but you didn't think about the sound system on it.
Oh.
Sound card? What sound card?
Yeah, so it'll sound like one of them old, like the Pong game. You know the sounds that the Pong game used to make? Bleep, bleep, bleep. They're like, is that Shazam talking?
Man.
Yeah, but that's cool, man. An old advertisement for the TRS-80. And they also had the Commodore 64s back in that day. Remember those?
Yeah.
Competition was rough. TRS-80 or a Commodore 64. I bet there was probably nerds fighting over which one was the best. But I got a TRS-80 with an 8-baud modem. Woohoo! And the big old 20 and a half inch floppies.
Oh my God, man.
Oh man. You gotta look back and it'd laugh, man. That's what probably what they had on the spaceship that went to the moon, right? The TRS-80?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what they had, but 1969. Somebody Google up computers in 1969. That'd be interesting to find out. All right, so anyway, the plan is to try to put together a massive roundtable, so to speak, a massive get-together to see if we can get all these researchers to take every bit of their talents and skills and actually turn one project out together and make just the average internal combustion engine where we could retrofit. It doesn't even matter what model it is, because the same concept would work in every single one of these engines out there. You know, starting off with something as simple as like a little weed eater two-cycle motor, you know, would be probably the easiest one to retrofit, because we could actually modify it, improve all the concepts. So you got any thoughts on that matter there, Thomas?
Maybe this.
Wow. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X. You think we
now
could
you know what you'd sound like if you were broadcasting from a TRS-80.
You think we could do our whole show like that?
Ooh, man.
That'd be cool.
I think you'd probably lose more people than you would from a continuous run of F-bombs.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. That would
give
you a headache.
We're going to bomb this place with F-bombs and TRS-80 speech.
Man.
Get ready to be wiped out.
Folks, we don't call it mad science for nothing. So anyway, that's the whole deal, man. Why is Justin in the chat room saying no show today?
I got no idea. Ask him what he's talking about, man.
Justin, what are you talking about, man? Let me give him that look there. Roll eyes. Alright, there you go. Alright, so, where was I?
You sure you're broadcasting?
Of course I am.
Because I didn't hear anything when it was trying to play earlier, but I had my
Alright, look, watch this.
Fault speaker system set up something different.
You hear that?
Okay, good deal. I blocked it, remember, so now I can't hear it anymore.
What, you blocked Shazia's radio?
Hey, I got tired of it just deciding when it decided to turn on, just like your nag screen that you're trying to get rid of. Well, it was a nag screen on my computer, man.
Well,
you're nagging people, and then you're complaining about a nag screen?
Well, I never. I've been done hurt at all now.
You never, huh? Now you see why you ain't got no friends.
Oh, man. Now, there's probably a way I can go in and rewrite that code in that JavaScript. And not
so it doesn't automatically turn on when you come in. You have to actually click the little button to turn it on?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Anything that automatically turns on when you go onto a web page is a bad idea. They just need to add that to the list of bad web page ideas you have come up with. Hey. To go with that web page you said they use as an example of what not to do when they key on website.
Yeah, there's actually a college overseas that uses my original website as an example of what not to do when building the site. Man, that's it. I'm going away. I'm taking a nap. Live on radio, I'm taking a nap. That was Thomas.
He's trying to not get sued for using somebody else's sleeping sounds.
No, I just want everybody to know I don't sound like that when I sleep.
Oh, whatever.
I sound worse. Alright. So anyway, back to some seriousness. If there is any seriousness left.
Hey, I got a question for you. Live on air, man.
Alright.
If I can put a way to put Discord on Shaziz Radio's website and connect it to one of those groups that I set up, what do you think?
Sure.
Okay, because there's a widget thingamajig. I'll figure out how to do that. If it's possible, I'll shoot you that info over there.
That would be brilliant.
I think we can even set a music bot up to play stuff from the radio site, the radio show, the shows on there.
Well, any improvement would be brilliant.
Excellent.
We'll start out a test page. We'll have a link on Shaziz Super Chat, and we'll actually have a test page to where it'll have all that code on there so that it ain't interfering with everybody else.
And you should actually call the page bleedingedge.html and put a link to it somewhere where it just basically says, for the adventurous who like to live on the bleeding edge of technology, click here.
Yeah, that sounds good. We can work on that. So anyway, back to some madness. Alright, still with the madness. We're rolling with the flow, man. We're catching the punches and going with it. Anyway, there's a real short survey on this page. Place to put in suggestions and comments and stuff like that. So if you go to www.shazizradio.com/... It's the minus sign. What do you call the minus sign?
Minus sign? I don't know.
Dash? Dash. Okay, let's just say shazizradio.com/the-. And I'm just saying dash. I don't even know how to read this out. Theplan.html.
Okay. Yeah, I think actually in a URL you would say dash. You got dash and underscore. The underscore is the one at the bottom. The dash is the one right in the middle.
Yeah. It's the minus sign on your keyboard.
Right.
All right, so we'll just say the minus sign. Go to www.shazizradio.com/the-plan.html, theplan.html. And if you're interested in this alternative energy deal that we're trying to put together, then fill out that little form and send me your ideas and suggestions. And I haven't put a date on an actual time when we're going to do this, because I want to see whether or not we're going to get any response. And depending on the response, depending on the number of researchers interested in doing this, even if it's only four or five of the best researchers out there, it doesn't matter. As long as we can get this done, I believe that it can be done. But my hopes is to bring all the alternative energy researchers under to the same table, just one time. Oh, gone it. CenturyLink. Do. Hold on. Alright. Dang it. CenturyLink popped up a nag screen on me. Still there, Thomas? Thomas!
Hey, you throwing me under a bus here?
No, I'm trying to figure out.
What's going on with Raymond? I'll be back in a minute.
All right, cool.
I'm still listening.
All right, so anyway, I don't like nag screens. So all those secret societies out there that keep throwing nag screens on my doggone computer, stop it. I ain't buying your product. Ever. So anyway, I believe that if we can get all these individuals together that have the skills, the technology, the tools, and I'm talking about the average Joe out there, the guy that's working in his garage or his barn or a doggone basement or shed or whatever. These are the individuals I'm interested in talking to, the ones that are thinking outside the box and actually believe in possibilities. Now, I know that we can take the internal combustion engine and we can actually make it so super efficient that, number one, it would use less fuel. Number two, it would generate less heat. And number three, there would be absolutely no waste coming from this engine whatsoever. The heat would be basically kept in the cylinders where you want the heat and deflected away from everything else. We could actually redesign the piston itself, you know, build a ceramic piston with maybe a titanium or platinum head on the top of it that all that heat that's generated inside the combustion chamber, which could be regulated, would remain at a constant temperature as opposed to continuously building up heat as you go. And that's where things start to break down. Even in electronics, heat is your worst enemy in electronics because, those things can only withstand so much. And, I gotta stop looking at the chat room. So anyway, this one simple project, bringing all the researchers together to the table, putting this one project together to prove what can be done while we're all together, is the plan. And, you know, if I fail in said plan and I can't get these folks together, then I will never ask them again. That's my promise. That's, why waste your time, keep asking people to try to help you out with a situation when you can't get no results. But I know that there's a lot of good individuals out there that have really good skill sets, and if I could get them all together, we can do one project together. We can get their confidence up to where this one simple project could actually move on into another more advanced project. When you're looking at an internal combustion engine and you look at that thermal imaging of that internal combustion engine, you can see that there is so much wasted heat going on. So much friction. These engines will literally grind themselves down to dust. You know, they'll tear themselves apart. You got vibration issues in there where, you know, that motors are rattling all over the place, and when things vibrate, they produce friction, which in turn produces heat. And so that's one way that it's going to generate heat. Then you got the actual combustion portion inside the cylinder itself, which is generating heat. Then you have the actual compression of the atmosphere inside that, which is also generating heat. So
then you have Raymond showing up out of nowhere,
which is also generating heat. Can't we all just get along?
Hot air too, I imagine.
Yeah. Hey, hot air is heat, right?
You got it.
So anyway, this is a project that I believe Raymond's already on board, because him and his buddy were working on some vapor carburetors that would literally send in only the amount of fuel necessary to actually run an internal combustion engine. See, this is the key.
Mm-hmm. The amount of gasoline it takes to do the same amount of work, like only 20%, 15 or 20% of the normal gas
used. Well, see, even at that, 15 or 20%. Think about that. Let's go with the highest number, 20%. If you could save 20% of all the fuel.
Whoa! Back up. He's saying 20% is in one fifth.
Oh, so you're actually saving. You're actually saving what? 80% of the fuel.
Yeah. Right. That means if you get if you're getting 20 miles per gallon now, you'd be getting 100 miles per gallon that with that system.
See?
Or multiply whatever you're getting times 5.
160 actually.
That's actually way beyond, you know, expectations. 80% savings on fuel is a big deal. Now, just with that design alone, Raymond, that would put that internal combustion engine over, you know, to the point where it's now really efficient. All right? Now, if you can take the same said engine and be able to take the heat off of that engine and utilize that heat and move it away from that motor to make that motor run cooler, then would that not raise the efficiency yet even higher?
A lot higher.
All right, so now...
burning gasoline fumes, your engine automatically runs about 20-25% cooler anyway.
Well, could you, when you get free time, make a list of just what your design right now, the percentages of what you believe the efficiency would change, like temperature, and because that would be great for a comparison for any next step that we take. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. The potential, the actual potential, is over 95% savings in gasoline. In other words, you should be able to get almost 15-20 times more work out of a gallon of gasoline than you do normally. Plus, the engine would run anywhere from 20 to 30 degrees percent warmer. Cooler, I'm sorry. Therefore, saving on parts. So it wouldn't be nearly as worn out parts as they normally are. Thirdly, in burning fumes, it is a complete burn, so there is no, practically no contamination of oil and gasoline, excess gasoline. So your oil lasts longer and runs cleaner. The whole entire engine runs cleaner. It gives off almost zero emissions as far as the toxic emissions go. The use of gasoline to run an engine is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, let's back up to the oil portion of it. See, that right there, in itself, being able to keep your oil cleaner longer, that's another one that's going to add to the efficiency of that motor and the longevity, of course. But what about not only being able to, by being able to focus that heat only into the cylinder and not transfer it to the block?
Right.
Yeah. So if you had a ceramic ring around a you can build slip rings. You can actually take in what they call there's a word for it. It's like grind out the cylinder, hone them out. Yeah, you can hone the cylinder out to whatever size you want. There's only so far you can go before you get to
you're saying bore the cylinder.
Bore the cylinder, that's the word I'm looking for. You can bore the cylinder out to whatever size you want, but you can only go so far, you know, and the reason why they do that is they can actually put a larger piston in to a smaller block that, you know, than the one that was actually came out in.
But, well, it's a lot easier to repair an engine, too, that's got torn up cylinders if you have enough material that you can rebore them and they make a bigger piston to go in there. Than it is to try to actually fix the scarred up walls inside by adding material to them.
Yeah. And so
is where 3D printing with metal would actually come in handy, if you'd be able to reach down in there and rebuild all that up and then bore it out to the size it was originally.
Yeah, that'd be... So anyway, what I was trying to get at, you could take any existing motor out there, and you could only bore it so far before the walls of the cylinder would get too thin, and you'd actually create yourself a problem. But actually, we know pretty far how far we can actually really go with that and still be able to put a piston in there. I believe we could actually go a little bit farther than that to actually put a ceramic ring in that same cylinder.
You mean a sleeve?
A sleeve, yeah. That's basically what I'm talking about. inside there, and then inside that ceramic sleeve, put a really high temperature metal inside that, and then run our piston inside of that. You see what I'm saying? So that the heat generated inside the piston from the compression and the burning of the fuel would remain inside that piston. You see what I mean?
Yep. Yep. 100%.
And so none of that heat from the cylinder would actually transfer to the block of the engine itself. Now that's going to do a couple things for you. First off, you know, it's going to keep that that heat focused inside the cylinder, so that will actually give you the potential to reduce the amount of fuel necessary because you're getting a cleaner, hotter burn. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you? That's the material you're holding up, Thomas. What is that?
Oh, are you able to see that?
Yeah.
I thought you wouldn't be able to see that. That is actually a 0.2 of a millimeter thick layer of PLA, polylactic acid, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's made out of cornstarch.
Wow.
So it's got a fairly low melting point. It's easy to melt, stick to things. And you know, not to get too far off subject here, but we were talking earlier about another potential item for people that they might want, that we could, especially for like the store we could provide for people, where you can literally make a plastic multicolored object that you take an iron to and iron it right onto a piece of cloth.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be almost as flexible as just about any cloth it goes onto as it melts down into the fibers themselves.
And we'd be making it plastic.
That's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm. So...
All right, so back to the engine. If you could keep the heat off of the cylinder, keep the heat focused in the combustion chamber, and you had the sleeves inside the combustion chamber where the piston would be riding up and down on, you could actually do the same modification to the piston head itself. There's a lot of tough materials out there, including plastic, that you could actually build that wouldn't allow a transfer of heat. So imagine you got this sleeve, you got the piston inside the sleeve, it's got the same material that's made of the sleeve is made of inside the cylinder, that's high temp metal, basically locked down to the top of the piston head. Alright, so it's still going to be able to get hot inside the cylinder, but that heat's not going to transfer down into the oil casing, if you understand what I'm saying. You guys follow me?
Yeah, I can see taking that energy that's coming off of there, that heat, if you can control where it's going, using it to take all your waste oil that basically is... if it can be ran through a filter, they can determine what's you know, still usable and what's not, and filter off the stuff that's no longer usable, and then thermally decompose it to make more fuel. Then it can be ran back in through the fuel system and burned later.
Yeah, well, that's a brilliant idea too. Any carbon that would have got built up in the oil that could be filtered out, that you could, you know, have like a multi-stage filter that when one got dirty and plugged, it automatically shift over to the next one and all.
Right, and just pump that heat into that thing and literally burn that stuff down without any oxygen so that it becomes something useful out of it.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you can keep the heat inside that cylinder from transferring down into the oil casing and from transferring to the actual block itself, now you don't have heat losses coming out of the engine. The only last... portion where that heat could escape would be out the exhaust, and that's where you'd want it to go, is out the exhaust. In the exhaust portion of it, now you'd want to be able to recapture some of that energy and put it where you want it. So a heat exchanger built into the actual exhaust itself could literally pick up and transfer the heat from the exhaust through, you know, let's say a liquid or whatever, radiator fluid or whatever. You see where I'm going there? Right now, you got a water jacket on an engine. If it's not an air-cooled motor, you got a water jacket that transfers that through to your radiator and your heater core and all that. you could do the exact same thing without ever having to worry about any carbon monoxide fumes or anything like that getting into the cab of the vehicle. You could actually use the exhaust heat itself. I don't know if you've ever seen how hot some exhausts get, but the catalytic converter is, those things will stay hot for several hours after you shut the thing off. So imagine having a heat transfer system built into the exhaust that would literally, you could circulate your liquid through there, your radiator fluid, and take that heat off the exhaust. When it's all said and done, by the time you put your hand down by the exhaust pipe itself, at max, it's going to be warm air coming down there. It's not going to be hot air. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Because you're actually doing a heat transfer in the process. And that, and we all know from heat pump systems that you can actually turn that heat into cool. What do you think? And so the only thing left on this particular little engine right here would be your actual ignition source. And with that said, there's multiple different ways. As I actually saw one out there that they were using lasers to ignite the fuel inside the combustion chamber. But
that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
If you look at diesel engines, they have glow plugs on a diesel engine, but that glow plug is only used for a short period of time. The glow plug is only used long enough to heat up the cylinder. Once the cylinder gets heated up, there is no more there's no more fire or spark going down inside there. See what I mean? That's why sometimes when you shut off a diesel engine, they don't want to shut off sometimes. So keep on, they call it dieseling, they keep on running. Actually, gasoline engines can do it as well.
All model airplanes that use a gas liquid fuel, they have glow plugs in them. They don't use a spark. You put a battery to the glow plug for about 30 seconds before you fire it up to get the glow plug hot. And then you just spin it. Once it starts, you unhook the battery and there's no more electric going to the motor itself.
Yeah. And it's actually the heat of the compression that's actually causing the ignition of the fuel.
You've been doing that for years.
Yeah, it's still getting oxygen on the intake portion, and so it still has everything it needs to burn. It's got an ignition source, which is the heat, and the compression. And so in a diesel engine, you're literally just burning. It's not exploding, igniting like a regular gasoline engine. It's just a burn, and that burn causes expansion and pushes the piston down. So what I'm saying here, guys, isn't nothing. It's not rocket science. We were already doing it. You just said, Raymond, we've been doing this for years. Diesel engines been doing it, and people who run farm tractors and stuff like that, they know about this technology. It's been around forever. The farmers used to wait till their tractors got up to operating temperature, and then they'd start injecting small amounts of water into the cylinders, saving on fuel. So it's not something that hasn't been done before.
See what I mean? In fact, it was in the latter part of the Korean War that they learned to do that on the fighter aircraft. Japanese fighter planes put out 1 hour on the flat run. So if one of their planes got on the tail of 1 hour, they couldn't shake it. But the only way they could accomplish it was go into a power dive. And then in the power dive, as soon as they would build up their speed and RPM, they would hit the water, and they would squirt an actual stream of water a quarter of an inch in diameter directly into the east cylinder. And the power increase would jump anywhere from 50 to 75%. Now, they could only hold it for so many seconds, and it would blow holes in the pistons and blow the heads right off. But that was just too much water, but he gave all the power that he could get out of harm's way. Now, if a smaller amount of water, you can run it continuously, like a vapor system of some kind.
Yeah.
I've done, when I was in North Carolina in 1959, Ranger, when the Ford Ranger was full size, it was a 302 motor. And I ran from Sligo, North Carolina to Virginia every day to work. And it was a 45-minute trip, and I put my wife's pumpkin spray bottle, it's empty, put the sprayer deal, drill a hole in the aerator cap, mounted that to it. It just fortunately just happened to fit my windshield washer hose. So I put caulking around it and aim directly over the carburetor. Once I get 45 miles an hour, I just turn the windshield washer on and just leave it on. And I save anywhere from, I'd say anywhere from 25 to 30% better gas mileage by doing that. It never harmed my engine. In fact, it helped the engine kept it from building up carbon. Because as the carbon gets hot, that water hits it, it knocks the carbon loose. So after about 50,000 miles, I opened up the engine, and that engine looked like it just came off the assembly line.
Yeah. Well, I did a video here a while back where I took a little weed eater motor and I spun it up with a drill. Now, keep in mind that drill's only got so much torque and so much RPMs, and so it had to be able to overcome the compression of the actual motor itself. But nonetheless, you could actually see in this deal where I was raising the actual temperature of the motor itself up, and had I been able to get the temperature inside that piston raised up to, you know, 180, 200 degrees, like, you know, normal engine would be running at. Now, it's actually probably hotter inside that cylinder at some point, but anyway, I started injecting a little bit of water into it, and you can see in this video where this thing was trying to buck. It was trying to turn over. Now, if you could get that cylinder up to temperature a lot faster, you could run that thing straight off of water. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm not talking about putting any kind of salt or anything like that in there. I'm talking about straight off of just regular tap water or even distilled water for that matter. You see what I mean?
That would work. It definitely would work. I mean, all you have to do is use the cylinder itself.
I'm going to add Justin to the call. He's having problems in the chat room. He's distracted. All right, let me see if I can get him in there. So anyway,
you think that's distracting? Wait till he gets in here.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he'll have to behave himself. All right.
We don't know the meaning of behave, man. We're rule breakers.
Yeah.
I go up the escalator. I take my hands off the rails.
Okay.
I like living on the edge, man.
There's a band out there that sings a song called Living on the Edge. Aerosmith, I think it was. Anyway, Justin, are you there?
Good morning.
You're having problems in the chat room, and it was getting distracting, so I figured it'd be better off just to drag you in here, man. Alright, so anyway.
He's kicking and screaming, man.
Yeah, if so.
We drug him in kicking and screaming.
Even the folks out there who are anti-fossil fuel, which fossil fuel is a misnomer, and I don't want to go into all that there, but either way, even the folks out there who are anti-oil, this would be a wonderful deal for them because you could run this engine off of any fuel. And I don't care what kind of fuel it is, any kind of fuel, if you can vaporize it, atomize it, set it down in there, compress it, and ignite it, it'll run. We could run this thing off of French fry oil. You know, they do it. I've seen diesel engines running. A friend of mine was going around getting used oil all over the place. Some people call it biofuel and other people call it whatever, but
biodiesel.
Yeah, biodiesel.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going and picking up the oil and grease from the grease traps at restaurants.
Yeah.
Biofuel is only useful in cold area, cold products. Actually, any vegetable oil will work fantastic in a warm climate without any bio trading off or chemical reaction, nothing. Just filter it, get all the salt out of it, and run it in the deep furnace for a while. In fact, the truth be known, the Chinese have run over 95% of all their diesel farming equipment since the end of World War II on nothing but vegetable oil.
Well, speaking of world wars, back in World War I and World War II, when they was running low on fuel, they used wood gasifiers.
Yeah.
So, pretty much.
Came up with a process where they would dig a tunnel. from a vein of coal, seal off both ends, pour superheated steam in, and set it on fire first. And feed just enough oxygen for it to smolder. Then it would feed superheated steam in there, but not quite enough to put the fire out. And it would dig the tunnel on an angle. And at a downhill angle, there would be a black ooze that would collect. And it could be refined exactly the same as if it was crude oil. The Germans came up with that because they were running low on fuel.
Well, under my job's plan, we wouldn't have that issue. Because anything, you can use anything for fuel. There's a video that's been out there on YouTube for a long time. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the GEAT reactor.
Yeah.
But essentially, this folks have been out there running that. They're putting all kinds of crud down in this thing just to show that you can run it on crud. They were running off of soda pop and water mixtures, throwing a little bit of oil and trash, and they were running it off of everything because the way that that reactor worked is basically the same concept of how a doggone wood gasifier was working. You know, you put a, let's say you take some wood chips and you put them into a metal container, and then you heat that metal container from the outside, it causes a gasification of that material that's inside. Before it actually gets to the point where, you know, it could actually, you know, catch fire, it's almost liquefying, but it's turning into a gas. It's taking all the whatever out of the wood, and I don't know, it'd be like creosote probably. And you got to be careful with some of these systems because if you do them wrong, they can actually plug up. They got bubblers that would, you know, clear the gas that's coming off of it before you actually ran it in through a carburetor system, so you don't plug up the jets and stuff. But nonetheless, you're still burning the solid. You're actually just heating the solid, gasifying the wood, the chemicals inside the wood, and making fuel out of that. Surely you guys understand that concept.
Oh, yeah.
But the GEAT reactor, there have been people who made those that essentially in the exhaust it has like a metal rod that the metal rod is basically doing the same thing that a catalytic converter would be doing. A catalytic converter ain't nothing but a reburner of waste fuel. That's it. There ain't no other purpose for a catalytic converter other than to reburn waste fuel. The material inside that catalytic converter gets so extremely hot that any fuel that makes it past the combustion portion will, you know, be burned up, and some of those gases will actually be sent back around into the intake and reburn again.
You know, that should tell people something. The catalytic converter gets 2 to 3 times hotter than it is. In some cases, 4. But where did the heat come from? It comes from the wasted fuel that went through your engine that was not burnt properly.
Yep.
Or it shows you that you are burning, you are actually using 3 to 4, maybe 5 times the gasoline that you actually need to move that vehicle.
Yeah, and here's another concept that a lot of people don't really take into consideration when they think about how an internal combustion engine works. You know, when you're sitting there at idle speed, you only got so many RPMs that piston's going up and down. But when you mash down on the gas and you're speeding that piston up, it's getting to going so fast that it actually gets to the point where you don't have enough time for that fuel to burn completely before it's set out the exhaust. That's where you'll get that smell out the back of your exhaust where it smells like it's running lean. You can actually smell gas fumes coming out the exhaust. You know? Well, if you took and atomized that fuel, vaporized it before, you can actually back the fuel off and go just as fast as you was by pumping a lot of fuel down in there. Because the faster you go, the faster that piston is going up and down, the less fuel required to push that piston down.
Exactly.
So, what normally started off that you said would give you like 80% savings in fuel, the harder you drove that, the more efficient it would become. You see what I mean? You know, it's like any transmission out there. You know, the transmission when in your car, just start off with an automatic transmission, has a torque converter, which is a hydraulic clutch. And when you're sitting there at idle speed, you know, it's just sitting there idle and it's not going nowhere. It's still spinning fast enough that you got to keep your foot on the brake, otherwise it'll creep off the line. But if you're just sitting there in neutral, it's able to sit there and spin without burning the clutches up, because it's not pushing pressure of the hydraulic fluid onto the clutches to cause them to engage. Well, when you mash down on the gas, the centrifugal force gets high enough where it creates pressure, which then in turn engages those clutches and sends you down the road. But that transmission doesn't start off in the highest gear. It starts off in the lowest gear, where it'll have the most amount of torque to pull, and then it works its way up to the higher high-speed gears. So gradually, as you're mashing down on the gas, it's actually, you know, changing gears inside that via the clutches, so that they you can get up to where you're doing 50, 60 miles an hour or more down the highway, right? So in that process, while that's going on, your engine at its maximum RPM, when you got it completely to the floor and it's running as hard out as it can, it can't go any faster than that, it's still turning that transmission fast enough to literally, you know, get those gears spinning and all the hydraulic pressure necessary to engage all the clutches and get you down the road. But at that point, you're wasting more fuel than you need to be wasting, because that piston is going up and down so fast that it doesn't have time for a complete burn inside there. So by being able to back that fuel off, you'll be able to use less and less fuel the faster you get going, because of the forward motion of that vehicle. It doesn't take near the amount of pressure to push that piston down, if you understand what I'm trying to explain here. See what I mean? Kind of like a 10-speed bike. When you ride at 10-speed, you start off in the lowest gear so you can start pedaling, and when you get going faster, you get up in the higher gears. If you try to start off in the highest gear first, you almost can't pedal that bike.
Right.
Yeah, it's
well,
like...
Where you start out, you get 10-speed up, so when you get up there, you can't pedal anymore.
Yeah. But...
Slow and build up slow.
At that point, even in the highest gear, there's only so fast you can pedal that bike. You're wasting energy. Imagine you take that same bike and you throw a little electric motor on there. Start off in the lowest gear, you get up to the highest gear and you're pedaling that thing, and now you got an electrical assist that is actually making it easier for you to push that pedal, and all you gotta do is sit down and hit a button and it sends you into overdrive, and now you're flying down the road on a bicycle. That's the same concept of what I'm talking about. Now you're not wasting, you're using less energy to get more work done. Same thing that you were talking about, Raymond, with your engine design for your vaporized carburetor.
Right, exactly. That thing is so efficient, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can almost reach out and touch the side of the engine block with your hands.
Yeah.
So
with the bicycle example, if you had a way in which that you could actually keep your body cooler and not happen to work near as hard, you would make yourself more efficient at riding that doggone bike.
Yep.
So what we're talking about here, folks, isn't rocket science. It's basic science, just a little bit of common sense. See, I know that if I know this and you guys know this, I know that the fuel industries out there know this. I know that they know that they could build a perfect internal combustion engine that would be so doggone efficient that they'd be selling less fuel. Now, the whole key about it is you need these engines to break down so you can sell parts for them. You need these engines.
Yeah, I was going to say, you succeeded to making it totally public, so everybody's doing it, where they're getting 100 to 150 miles to the gallon. You can say goodbye to even the $5 a gallon prices and say hello to $25 to $50 a gallon prices for gas.
Yep.
But
the key is, why even buy gas anymore? Because once you know how this system functions, and you know that you can put water in there, instead of gasoline, and then you ain't got no issues. See, the only key that you got for any of these concepts that I'm talking about is, first off, we talk about waste heat. Well, heat is your friend in the beginning. You need the heat to heat that cylinder up. That's why they have glow plugs in diesels. Otherwise, a diesel engine would never start. You couldn't get a diesel engine to start unless you had, some way that you could turn that engine over to create compression to create the heat inside that cylinder. That engine would never start. If your glow plugs were completely out, and you had a way that you could get a hold of, like, let's say, put that doggone thing on a treadmill, and you could turn those wheels fast enough with the clutch engaged to fast enough and long enough to build up the heat pressure inside that cylinder, you could get that diesel engine to start. If you had a way to tow a diesel engine down the road behind another vehicle without ever even having any glow plugs involved in the system at all, I mean, completely unhook the doggone power to the glow plugs, and you could tow that thing down the street fast enough, the compression of the pistons inside there would get hot enough inside there, the air pressure inside there would get hot enough to literally begin to ignite the fuel and that truck would run. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely 100% right. I said you're thinking, to actually run a vehicle on water, it's possible. It's completely and totally possible. All you have to do is build a double-walled cylinder and insulate the outside. On the inner side, in the inner wall, you would have a liquid such as mineral oil or something. It would take a lot of heat. You would heat that liquid, then you would have a sonic humidifier, which would turn your water into water vapor, not gas, but the water molecules. As your piston came down, it would suck that water molecules in there, and the heat from the inner core or the outer core would heat that water. Now, as the piston comes up and it compresses it, the more it compresses it, the hotter it becomes, because it's already collected all this heat. But the more you come up, the more pressure you put it up, so it's not going to boil. It's just going to compress and get hotter and hotter. Now, once it breaks over top dead center and the pressure starts to release, then all of a sudden, this water vapor starts to boil and turn into steam at 1,600 times its original size. There's your power right there.
Yep.
There is your power.
So there you go right there, man. It's and you didn't have to do nothing fancy. And the thing about those sonic vaporizers, the version that you brought over, they run off 120 volts AC. And it don't take a lot of watts in order to be able to get that, because you could actually hook an inverter up in your car that would actually run that doggone vaporizer long enough to get that thing started.
Right.
And once it's started, it'll still have the energy to run the vaporizer.
Right.
So, that's what I'm talking about, folks. It can be done. Now, if we can bring the people together and we can get this done, this is the easiest project that I can see out there in the alternative energy community, where we could literally show people how they could modify any existing internal combustion engine out there to run off of any type of fuel and run, do it so efficiently that it wouldn't hardly take any fuel to run the doggone thing.
Actually, a four-stroke motor would be so easy to convert to do exactly what I said, to actually run the vehicle off of water. Because what you said earlier, the dieseling effect on the gasoline engine, if your water gets too hot, if the engine gets too hot, and you turn the ignition off, as it compresses that gas, it builds the heat, but it also gets heat from the water that's overheating. So if you took a four-cylinder motor, right, and started heating the radiator rather than cooling it, and got the water up to boiling or even higher than boiling point, put a radiator cap on it that would withstand it, and get it up to a really high point, then you could just spin the car, the engine over with the same starter motor, injecting water vapor, water fumes, and it would run. It would run as long as you kept the water jacket hot.
Yeah, and let's say you got a bad case of global warming going on around you. All right, well, if you got a hot motor sitting, you know, out there in the snow, it's going to cause that snow to melt. You could actually capture that snow and allow it to drain right into your fuel tank.
I've seen it first.
Huh?
I was seen it first.
Well, sure, but, you know, put a filter in there if you're worried about it. Put a Brita filter in there. That way you can actually, have really clean water running in through there. But nonetheless, if it's raining outside, you're capturing that rainwater, and you're running it through there, keeping your motor running. Man, the way I see it, you would never even have to shut that thing off. Seriously. You could have a 50-gallon drum of brand-new, fresh synthetic motor oil or whatever, and have that thing automatically filtering itself and recirculating the doggone oil to keep a fresh oil in there at all times, and even collecting the crud built up in the oil and reusing that.
Think about this. If you insulated your radiator and insulated your motor where the water jacket is, don't let it cool off, then how much heat would it actually take to keep the vehicle running? The average vehicle, well, average, no, but mine, I've always altered mine. But my alternator on my pickup truck puts out 100 amps at 14 volts. So that's 1,400 watts. And my truck would actually handle two alternators. Excellent. So that we're talking about 2,800 watts would be way more heat than you would need to keep that water hot. So consequently, the engine would produce its own heat, its own electric heat, to keep the water hot, so it would run off of water.
Yep, and there is a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator. Look it up. It's called Secrets of the Alternator. You can take any AC Delco alternator, and you can pull the diodes out, and you can get 120 volts AC out of that right out of the gate. All right, now you spin that up at some higher RPMs, and you get it at even higher voltage. But nonetheless, you're still talking about 120 volts AC out of an alternator that you only want, 12, 13 volts to come out of to keep your battery charged up. So even the alternator is capable of producing more voltage.
Back in the early 1970s, they made a little box. You could buy one at almost any automotive parts store. They were like $29. You wire it in, and you screw it right to your firewall on the engine, and wire it into your alternator, and it would produce, of course, now the voltage. You had to have a voltage meter, or you had to idle the engine up until it would hit 110 volts. It would go up to over 200 volts.
Yeah.
But 110 volts. And it was pulsating in DC. It would run anything that had heat elements or brushes. And being pulsating in DC was three times more powerful than AC.
You guys ready for a quick coffee break?
Sure.
All right, well,
yeah, let's do that, man.
Throw a couple tunes on when we come back. Somebody remind me that I want to tell you why I believe that this right now would be the perfect solution for the alternative energy community, why I believe that you could literally take the internal combustion engine right now as you speak and basically run your entire house off of it. Literally.
Oh, literally, yes.
All right, so somebody remind me to say that when we come back.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Hey, this is a reminder, man. Say that.
Well, don't remind me yet. I ain't got the coffee pot. I might stub my toe and forget about it all before.
Hey, I'm just reminding you when I know I'd remember.
You
come back. All right, folks, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned because it's going to get exciting. Peace and love, everybody.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Turn it up.
Frontier. These These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
All right, and we're back.
70G33L class fill nylon.
Okay, what's the melting temperature of that?
Oh, God. Well, I haven't actually opened it up yet. Looks like some company named Premier Plastic Resins and another one named Sterling Plastic Inc.
Yeah.
Is the first thing you find when you look on Google for that. Oh, you're looking for nylon 66.
No, back whenever I was working in a plastics plant molding, an injection molding company, they had a material called 70G33 glass filled nylon. Anyway, they made pulleys for lawn and garden, Ford and Deco lawn and garden pulleys, and basically for Ford trucks and stuff. They had these idler pulleys and other pulleys that they'd make out of this glass-filled nylon. What I was trying to find out is what the actual melting temperature of that plastic is, because if I remember right, it was pretty high. You had to get the temperature up there really good to melt this stuff.
They're not giving any of that info, man.
Yeah, well,
they're selling it. They sell it, but
well, maybe
like
it's
55 pounds, $233 for pellets of it.
Maybe it's a trade secret.
Molding guide. There's a molding guide and a data sheet on here. So let's save these two. I can get it to. Let's see. I'm going to try the molding guide first.
Alright, well, if you find the melting temperature, let me know.
Processing temperature, stock. They've got stock, rear, middle, front, nozzle, and mold. And of all those, it looks like the minimum is between. Well, molding is 100 degrees Celsius. Right? No? Fahrenheit? I don't know. They've got an F with a C in parentheses, but they don't give two numbers afterwards. So
well, what would be 100?
Skip one.
What would be 100 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit? Justin should know that.
212 degrees.
All right, 212 degrees. Well, see, that's a plus right there, because your average engine should be running at probably a maximum of 220 degrees, right?
Right.
Otherwise, it's right. Overheating. So, the reason why I bring this up is because that 70G33 glass-filled nylon could potentially, under the right circumstances, be 3D printed. You could actually 3D print a block, an engine block, using that material on a printer. What do you think?
Yeah, right. Well, listen, man, this is nylon 66.
Yeah?
And it says that it is a direct equivalent. Where was it? This material is a direct equivalent to DuPont Zytel 70G33L or BASF Ultramide 15032.
Cool.
There's also another one called Ascend of Viodine R55.
Oh, yeah, Viodine. That's what they use in some really high temperature It makes kind of a white looking plastic, almost like PVC, but it's a higher temperature rating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
this is the same stuff they make Glock pistol handles out of, like the whole assembly that the slide fits into.
Yeah.
The almost all plastic gun that only the slide and chamber and whatnot is actually metal. It's the same plastic.
Yeah. So the
exact same color too.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up, because if you could actually 3D print a block, we could make mini scale versions of a motor, an internal combustion engine, that would do exactly what I'm talking about, where we could actually literally design our own single cylinder combustion engine that we could make out of plastic, just to prove that you could actually control the temperature. Because if, let's say you printed it out, you made a ceramic sleeve, and then you put inside the ceramic sleeve a metal sleeve to retain the heat inside there. So you could run this plastic engine without ever even hurting it. You know, if it can run at 212 degrees, if that's the melting temperature at it, we can keep all the temperature away from it so that it wouldn't melt while you was running it. But this particular material that I'm talking about is really, really tough stuff. I mean, you could take one of those doggone pulleys. I remember back in when I was working at the plastic plant, you could drop them things 10 feet in the air, or even take it and slam it on the ground, and it's not going to break. Those things were durable. You know, that's probably why they make a Glock out of it.
There, I was going to say, there are 3D printing filaments already made for this, so, of this stuff.
Well, there you go then. See, that's a plus for us, because now you got access to a 3D printing machine. You could actually build, we could even do it like an RC car size little single cylinder, or maybe even multi-cylinder, it don't matter. But single cylinder would be the easiest way, and actually put together a working model of an internal combustion engine that would use all these concepts that we're talking about. So now you'd have a plastic motor with a ceramic piston sleeve, and then a metal piston sleeve, and then you'd have the actual piston itself, which I believe we could actually print the piston out of the same type of plastic, because we could put a ceramic cap on top of the piston, and then a metal cap on top of that ceramic cap, and have that thing, you know, with normal rings or whatever made out of the same type of material as the metal sleeve, so that it would seal between the oil and the combustion chamber. Well, so now we can literally print this out, a 3D version of a vapor carburetor designed exactly the way we want it, that could bolt right straight to this motor. We could actually print out our exhaust, go from where the actual side of the motor is to a on the exhaust port. You'd have to probably have a ceramic insert that would allow the heat from the combustion chamber out without destroying that portion of the motor, and then guide that down into an exhaust system that would be designed to take that heat exhaust and transfer the heat from the exhaust through any liquid we decided to heat up. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all doable, man. We've actually got the tools and the technology to do it. You know?
Everything. All
plug and play. Yep. And so, before we went on break, I said to ask me why it is that I believe you could run your entire house on this doggone thing. You know? Obviously not a scale model like we're talking about printing on a deal, but you could actually build larger 3D printers if you wanted. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, the expense might get you, but I don't know.
Well, those knuckleheads that are trying to get a patent on 3D printers inside of a shipping container are already making 3D printers that print like an 8 or 9 foot wide area.
Wow.
So
that's more than
the printer's 8 foot. It prints like a 6 foot wide area and like up to I think 12 foot long.
So anyway, why did I say something as crazy as that you could run your entire house off of this thing? first off, if you look at what is going on whenever you're running your electricity right now, your biggest money drain on you is your heat. You know, if you could supplement the heat in your house, then that would drop your electric bill down drastically. Any resistive load, which is basically the heating elements inside your doggone heater, would cost you the most amount of money. Well, the 120-volt AC fans would be another step that would cost you to drain some money down. But with this internal combustion engine, you could generate enough electricity to run any 12-volt system or even 24-volt, possibly even 48-volt system that would run that same fan that's running the fan on your heater and not cause a serious drain. And as far as lighting goes, man, the LED technology these days is incredible. I mean, you can get really good lighting out of LED. Raymond's already done it. He's retrofitting people's shops with LED light systems and saving them a bunch of money. So now you got this engine running. It's running so super efficient that it's actually running off of water itself. And so every time it rains, you fill your gas tank up, or, you know, if it's snowing outside, you capture some of the snow melt and you fill your gas tank up. And then this thing's running, it's producing heat, which is being guided down into a heat exchanger, which in turn is basically running the equivalents of the heater cores that you find in any average passenger bus. If you've ever looked at the heating systems inside of a passenger bus, it's pretty amazing. They got real long hoses that run from one heater core to the next all the way to the back, so you got several heaters in one bus. And they're underneath the seats, but it has a heater core, and it has a 12-volt fan system in there, and basically the water from the engine goes circulating all the way through the entire length of the bus and heats up the bus inside. And even though those buses are poorly insulated compared to a house, you get to the point where you got to turn the heat down in them buses because they'll run you out of there. It gets that warm inside.
Even though it's heating the bus that well, it's still generating more heat. That's why you still have to have a radiator and a cooling fan on it.
Yep. So, if you had the equivalents of the transportation department's bus heaters, one in every room of your house, you could literally heat your entire house just by running this generator. Alright, and you're not draining off any electricity off of it, so you're not causing that doggone motor to bog down. You're actually helping that motor to run more efficiently because you're keeping it a lot cooler than it would be otherwise. Because you got to get rid of that heat. It's waste heat. You got to get rid of it. The heat at a certain point in the internal combustion engine is your worst enemy. It'll begin to break down the viscosity of the oil. It began to wear down the parts. Once the oil breaks down and it's not as lubricating as it could be, viscosity is essentially the thickness of the oil. All right, and that's why if you go to the hardware store, the auto parts store, and you buy oil, you'll see like 50 weight oil. You'll see 10W40 or 10W30 or just different 5W20s or whatever. That's how thick that oil is. They're designed for different types of vehicles because certain types of vehicles will actually run hotter than other. Like Raymond's truck will probably run all right at 220 degrees, where my car, anything above 180, you're looking at the motor's getting too hot and it'll damage itself. Am I wrong, Raymond?
No, you're right.
So you got access to 220 degrees on an engine, or even 180 degrees on an engine, that, just like my redneck hot tub, I took an entire tub and was able to, within 4 hours, heat that tub up so hot you couldn't even get in it. You had to let it cool down a bit. And all I used was a 110 coffee pot element to constantly recirculate that water through there. So it may take you a little longer to get your house up to operating temperature, but once it is up there, it don't take nothing to maintain it. So now you just took the entire heating portion of your house off the grid. All you got is a little engine that you're running out back that's running this and circulating hot water through your heating system of your house. Now all you got to go from there is, you know, you got heat loads such as your stove. Some people burn propane to cook with. Some people have electrical elements to cook with or whatever. And so those are the ones that you that would be the biggest drain on your electrical now. So if you could find a way to literally, instead of using a 220 stove to heat up an element, to circulate water through there to literally do the same exact thing, you know, how much longer would it take you to cook food at 220 degrees?
Not very long.
Well, so if you've got... you got that same radiator system running through some coils on the stove top, and even in the oven for that matter, that heat's going to go somewhere. It's going to either go inside the oven or it's going to go across the top. You put your pan on top of it and you use the hot water to literally transfer the heat through to cook your food.
Here's the thing though, you know, you're transferring heat from, in other words, you're heating the water, you're passing it through pipes to go to a radiator system to put the pan with the food on it. Why use water? Use vegetable oil. There's some vegetable oils that can heat up to 600 degrees before they start to boil.
Well, we're just water, basically...
Once water reaches its boiling point, it starts to build a pressure. And as that pressure builds, it doesn't boil. But you get a tremendous amount of pressure, and that pressure is dangerous. So if you use mineral oil, it doesn't start to expand until it reaches its boiling point.
Yeah.
600 degrees, that means you can cook your food at 354, 400 degrees. But some foods need that type of temperature.
Yeah. So
if you use like a mineral oil or virgin olive oil or something like that, they have a very high boiling point. It will collect the heat and dissipate the heat just as fast as water. But you can put more heat into it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, but what you're saying right there is another example of what even with the system that I'm talking about, you're still going to have wasted heat. You're going to have to put a radiator on there to, when it gets to a certain temperature, the fan kicks on and cools the thing down. Because if you keep putting heat to the system that I'm talking about and you ain't taking no heat away from it, like cooking with it or whatever, then eventually it's going to get too hot and, you know, you'll burst a hose or something like that. So the idea that you're talking about would be you get that heat a lot faster using that mineral oil, you know, but at some point you're still going to have something to cool it back down. So this is...
That was my point about the four-stroke gasoline engine. If you took the radiator off and did away with it, if then put a heat exchange system on it, where you've got your heating elements to heat the mineral oil, then you actually wrap the entire engine in insulation so that no heat can get out. And the only way the heat can get out is through the pistons. So when you crank the engine up, this piston comes down, sucks the water vapor in, then it comes back up, compressing it, and all that heat from that mineral oil is also going in through that cylinder wall and heating that vaporized water. And it's coming up and building a pressure so it's not boiling. It can't boil.
Yeah.
Because the pressure is constantly building. But in building the pressure, it's also building the temperature of the heat. Now, once it breaks over and starts down, then you're releasing the pressure. Now the water can boil rapidly. I mean, very, very fast. Creating unbelievable pressure on the piston, pushing it down.
Well, what we
do. Heat off of that mineral oil as fast or faster than you can put it into it.
Well, we've essentially explained here.
It runs off of water itself. No gasoline, no diesel fuel, no kerosene. It runs off of water.
Yep. What we've essentially explained here is the perfect generator.
Yep.
The perfect
thing is the water that comes off your exhaust would be pure water.
Yep.
You condense it back down into water. It would be warm already, warm water. Then you turn it into a vapor and reuse it all over again. You use the same fuel over and over and over and over again. And the power would be more than sufficient to run alternators that would produce the heat to keep it hot and drive a vehicle.
Yep.
Therefore, you crank your engine up in New York City,
at the Atlantic Ocean, turn the engine on and drive it non-stop all the way across the United States, not use any fuel whatsoever.
I can see a time where literally when you leave your house, if you didn't want to leave everything on, you drive your car to work and do all things you got to do at work. You come home, your car's already warmed up, the generating systems are already online. You back it up and it has a plug-in on the back bumper that you just like lock into your house and you turn your house on with your car and leave your car running and go inside and do whatever it is you do during your day, and then repeat the same process in the morning. Your car becomes your power plant.
Exactly. And
you could use solar panels to supplement the things like you don't want your pipes to freeze when you leave if you live in cold climates, so your solar panels are charging up batteries that are keeping elements running during your time where you're gone, or if you got something running on your computer that you need to keep running while you're gone. You know, you have just enough energy to keep that house from freezing and everything functioning perfect on the way out. Now you're driving a vehicle that nobody can holler about carbon emissions. You have a house with a reduced footprint. You got the perfect generating system, everything. You know, they got, like, for tractor trailers, they got quick connects and disconnects for air hoses, right? You could do the same thing with liquids. They got quick connects and disconnects where you could actually have the back of your car literally plug right into your house, plugs into the heating system, everything. So when you're gone, it runs just a little bit of elements in order to keep your pipes from freezing and keep your house you know, warm enough so that when you get home, you plug your car into it. You see where I'm going there? And it's not science fiction. It's all science fact. We already have all the technology available to do exactly what I'm saying, using existing technology right off the store shelves. Now, some folks would argue with you, that's not even remotely close to free energy, but I'm here to say that if I can plug my car into my house and keep myself warm and watch my TV while I'm at home and use the lights just like I would, and I'm not paying the electric company...
And you're not dying any fuel.
Yeah.
And you're not contributing to toxic waste in the atmosphere.
There you go. Somebody tell me where that's wrong. Somebody find one flaw in that system.
You silly. It doesn't exist yet?
Well, that's the only flaw. It don't, it exists, but it ain't. The pieces of the puzzle aren't together.
Right. That's like saying a picture that's on a bunch of pieces in a puzzle box that are laying in a discombobulated manner exists, and actually it doesn't. The components to make it are in there.
Yeah.
The picture isn't there yet.
Right. You got to put it in, plug it in, plug it.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, listen to me. I have spent many years. I don't even remember what year my YouTube channel come out. But I have spent many years, I'm actually looking up my channel. I'm going to see what year I actually started doing this. And it all came...
Just so I'm gonna make, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we have mentioned on this program today that does not already exist. A piece of the puzzle does not already exist. Everything we discuss, there are parts out there that if you put them together, just put them together in proper order, will do exactly what we just said. Everything it's already made is just like a puzzle that has not been put together yet.
So, it says right here that I joined YouTube October 16th of 2007. How many years is that?
October 2007?
Yeah.
That would be almost 10 years.
Alright, so for about 10 years...
10 years.
For about 10 years... I have been out here researching in the alternative energy community. It all started with a fight that I had with the power company. But I've been out here researching in the alternative energy community, and so I started up this crazy mad science channel so that I could gradually start to find the people out there like Thomas and Raymond and Justin and all the different people that you've heard on the Mad Science and the Knights of the Roundtable show. I put a lot of videos out there for a reason. Some of them, you know, crazy. Some of them informative, and some of them just to throw a question mark on the table. Is this possible? All right? And the purpose of doing that was to try to weed out the individuals who continuously say, you can't do this. It's not possible. The laws of physics, or the book says, or whatever. There were thousands of people out there who will find many, many excuses why you can't do something. And I didn't want to waste my time with those people. So I wanted to find the people who were standing outside the box, who would look at something, and regardless of whether they thought it was science fiction or science fact, at least open up a dialogue and tell me why it is that they believe it could or could not be done in a fashion that would actually answer questions at the same exact time. So if for as crazy as my YouTube channel may sound, the purpose behind the whole deal was to find people like you. People like you who are willing to think outside the box, who are willing to look out there and to share research with one another and actually get something done. Otherwise, I go out there and I say, hey, everybody, look, we can do this. And everybody says, oh, well, you're just crazy. There ain't no way we'd do that. And then that's that, you know. But if you know, right out of the gate, you got somebody who doesn't think like the normal average Joe, who doesn't believe that things are not possible. You know, if you take a look at Star Trek, Star Wars, or any of the famous science fiction shows out there, somebody out there, even if it was just the writer, believed that this was possible. You could boldly go where no man has gone before. Those are the folks I wanted to talk to. I wanted to talk to the ones that liked Star Wars and liked Star Trek and liked time travel and teleportation and UFOs and technology that could be used to make this world a heck of a lot better than what we've seen so far. Now, I got in a fight with the power company because I got on a level payment plan. Alright, and their level payment plan was such that I wouldn't get surprised with a higher bill next week. I knew exactly how much my bill was going to be every month. Alright, well, something happened in my life where it cost me to where I missed a shutoff notice by one day. Shut me down on my electricity. So for about 2.5 to 3 months, I was out there running gasoline generators, shocking the crud out of myself, nearly blowing the doggone generator up or myself, having all kinds of trouble trying to keep these raggedy old gasoline generators running in order to keep the refrigerators and the freezer going in the house and the lights on and some sort of comfort for my family during the cold and the heat. And I tried and tried to work with the power company, and I asked them, I said, look, I'm spending $100 a week, because that's back when gasoline was $4 a gallon. I'm spending $100 a week on fuel that I could be giving you towards this bill. Is there any way possible that you can work with me? Not only were they rude and disrespectful to me, but they said, no, you got to pay your entire bill up current, plus you got to pay a $700 deposit in order to get your lights back on. Well, how's an average Joe like me going to be able to come up with that kind of money? The average working man out there ain't got that kind of money. So if it wasn't for the grace and the goodness of other people out there who actually pitched in to help me get my lights back on, then I would have never got them back on. Well, when I finally got them back on, they made a mistake and they didn't charge me the deposit before they turned it back on. And according to Missouri state law, they can't shut you off for a deposit once they turn you on. So they kept trying to get this money out of me every day, every time I went to pay a bill, they kept trying to get this deposit out of me. I paid exactly what I used every single month, nothing more, nothing less, and I was on time with my payment, and they never could shut me off for that deposit. Eventually, they finally gave up and went away from it. But before all that, I wrote a letter to the head of the power company and I said, look, because of the way you treated me and my family during our time of need, had no safety nets, and your employees were rude and disrespectful to me, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my entire life to studying everything there is to know about alternative energy. And when I get that accomplished, I'm going to share it with each and every one of your customers for free. So when your wallet gets thin, you're going to have me to blame for it. This is why I put my YouTube together. This is why I did it in the crazy fashion that I did it. This is why I brought these people together, because of this certain purpose, to keep my word to the power company. I fully intend on proving once and for all 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt energy's free, and I'm going to give that information access free to the doggone people of this world. That's why I'm so adamant about not accepting people's money, because I don't want to be labeled as a fraud or somebody who's going to try to cheat somebody or steal somebody. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. I'm sitting here telling everybody about an internal combustion engine that is the easiest way.
Oh, hey, when are you going to run for office under the platform of the electric bill is too darn high?
I'll do it. You guys vote for me? I'll go. Yeah.
You know I love you, right?
Yeah.
But that's the one thing you always, when you say that, that's the only thing you say that I really, truly disagree with you completely. 100% disagreement.
What about taking money?
Well, that, in truth, they're trying to help themselves. Everybody wants to donate $10, $20 to help you in your experiments. Let them.
Well, see, Raymond.
What they're doing, they're trying to help you help them.
Well, see, Raymond, now we got to that understanding, and I can understand, yeah, now I could use some help. But my initial point was exactly what I explained. The reason why my YouTube was as crazy as it was, the reason why I never ask anybody for anything, is because I wanted to get to this point right now where I can sit here and I can offer all the alternative energy people out there ultimate access to my brain, and they do the same. We get together with our tools, we accomplish the goal, and it's done. Once and for all, I've looked at every technology out there, everything from the Bedini motor to Tesla technology to all the different types of alternative energy, free energy devices, even the scams and the whatever. 10 years. 10 years I've been doing this.
Do you agree with this or not? You know that little piece that you just showed earlier on the show that you actually put on the t-shirt and ironed it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What if we think about, we make something like I support Shaziz and the mad science team.
Cool.
People that make $5 get 2 or 3 of those.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we can do it.
So they're not actually donating, but they're getting something for their money worth more than what they're donating.
How soon can we get started?
It's what Indiegogo and Kickstarter calls a perk. You get a perk for your donation.
But it's a perk in that you advertise that you support Shaziz and the Shaziz Bed Science team.
Right. It's kind of like the people who went to vote got one of those I voted stickers.
Right.
All right, folks.
There you go.
I'm hip to that plan. That sounds brilliant.
Okay, let's do it.
Now, does everybody understand now why I've done my YouTube channel the way that I've done it, why I keep this platform going? Did I explain it good enough that everybody can understand? I may be considered the craziest person out there in the alternative energy community, and some people might just think I'm flat out nuts. But what we've talked about here today, do you have any doubt in your mind that what we've talked about here today, that we could actually accomplish this?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
What's the doubt? What's the drawback? What's going to stop us?
I'm telling you, I can think of other than just getting together and actually doing it.
Raymond, I think you mistook what he said. He was saying, do you have any doubts that we could do it?
Oh, do I have any doubt? Heck no. I know we can do it.
Let's see, the only doubt I can see anybody having is
everything we've discussed today, I've already done and prototyped, and they work. They work like a champ. Well, I know it can be done. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Now you guys know why it is that I did the way that I did on my YouTube. Now you know why what happened to Stan Myers isn't going to happen to me. Because if they whacked me today, you guys already got the knowledge in your head. You could do it anyway. It's already been broadcasted out all over the internet. It's already all over my YouTube. If you go back and you actually pay attention to my YouTube channel, you're going to find things sitting in the background in plain sight that have to do with what we're talking about here today. I've been doing this for 10 years. Just so that I could get to this point right now to where I could offer all these brilliant minds out there to come together to do and prove once and for all what we're talking about. Thomas is holding up a 3D printed object right there, and while he's holding it up, I'm looking at a 3D printed motor. That's where my mind's thinking. I don't know what that actual part is that you got going on there, Thomas, but I see the first layer of an engine block. Cool. That's got a lens in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go, man. It's amazing what you can do with 3D printers. It's amazing what we can do with the technology we've got available. Justin told me about a deal where he's actually using a process to heat water up using magnetic flywheels flying past copper coils. Is that still working, Justin? Is he still there? I think we lost Justin.
He probably stepped away. He does that often.
Yeah.
All right. He should probably off another room for work.
All right. Well, all of those effects, the lens effect and all the different things that we've learned about centrifugal motion and cavitation and magnetism, all of these, I've been watching all these for over 10 years now, 10 years at least. Let's just say 10 years. All right. Been watching this for 10 years. I've been watching all these anomalies, been putting little comments on people's deal, talking about, well, yeah, what if you took this and you did that with it, and so on and so forth, trying to just spark that extra little thought where something don't get overlooked. When I see any gizmo out there working off of anything, sunlight or photons or whatever causing motion, or you know, even blowing up a balloon and letting it go, you know, causing a force or whatever. Static electricity, the Venturi effect, ways to pump water more efficiently, and I could go on and on. There's so many different things in the alternative community, alternative energy, that you take all these anomalies, all these pieces of the puzzle, and we can literally design the very best, if the most efficient, what I'm going to say is the perfect generating system that would work in perfect harmony with nature without no ifs, ands, or buts. We could turn an internal combustion into, instead of something that they've classified as a pollutant, into a machine that would work in perfect harmony using any type of fuel out there. Now, if anybody disagrees, that's now time to speak or forever hold your peace. Because I'm sold, man. Everybody go to sleep. Thomas is still showing 3D printed objects. So, what do you think, guys?
I think it's a good deal. I love it. And that way we know how many sports we actually have that do sports.
Yep. All I'm asking for anybody out there, any guys in the alternative energy, Mark over there at Zero Fossil Fuel, I love your work. I love all the research that you've done. I love your meticulousness and your honesty. Ryan over there at Abrams Lab, man, you guys, you got a lot of talent. You got artistic skills. You know, things that Thomas does artistically. Terry Woodruff, I mean, he's got some amazing work that he does out there. Deeds, I just love watching Deeds work. And Lid Motor, Laser Saber, Laser Hacker, Remstar.org. You know, we got links to these guys' channel down here on Shaziz Radio. And I can go on. There's plenty of them out there. Sky Collection. You know, I don't even speak the same language that, but via Sky or via YouTube, there's translators, and we're able to text back and forth to each other. And he's working on some pancake motors and pancake coils and stuff like that, and basically really super efficient magnet motors and all kinds of stuff. It's incredible the work that he does, and the craftsmanship is amazing. And
get closer and closer to having a universal translator. Yet one more thing from Star Trek that everybody said, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, I'm able to talk to a man where I can't even speak his language. You know, tell me that ain't cool. But but the thing is, you know, and you know, Justin, I don't know where he went, but he was talking about cutting rocks with using sound. You know, there's a saw out there that you can literally cut rocks and metal with water, using water pressure. And so you can't tell me that we don't have the technology available to do exactly what it is I'm saying. None of what I've been saying here today defies any of the known laws of physics. Everything that I've been talking about here today is doable using off-the-shelf stuff. And this is what I've been trying to point out to people for so long on my YouTube channel. I do my YouTube channel crazy for a purpose. I don't want to get off like Stan Myers and cheated like Tesla, or, you know, all the different guys and gals out there who did research that got the research basically bought up and shelved away. So I didn't use all of my research. I used all of everybody else's research to point it out, to say that if you put this piece with that piece and this material with that material, you can make this so doggone efficient that you... what's the point of searching for free energy anymore? You done made it perfect. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can take an internal combustion engine and modify that thing to run so super efficient that you're using fractions of the fuel that you'd normally use, and your exhaust is so doggone clean that you ain't have no waste, and you're actually using any wasted energy off of this thing, you know, why do you need 0 point or over unity? You're working in perfect harmony with nature. When it rains, it fills up your fuel tank. And when you get the exhaust coming out the doggone engine, you got water. You turn around and use that water, filter it out, make sure you ain't got no crud particles in there, and now you got drinking water.
Hot bath water, too.
Yeah, bath water. So... I'm telling you, it's there. And I'm asking everybody out there, I want to get together and I want to do it. I want to make it happen. I want to make it a reality. The internal combustion engine, the automobile, wasn't done by one guy. One guy had a good idea. He put together a prototype and everybody else jumped in there. They started making it. They built factories, and multiple people with skills and talents and tools made the automobile industry what it is today. And so we're not doing anything new. It's just that we're finally getting to the point where we need to make it more efficient. And to make it more efficient means that the average Joe can actually afford it. You see what I mean? There you go, folks. That's the plan. If you want, and if you're interested in the plan, jump over there to shazizradio.com. Sometime today we'll repost the link for any new people coming into the chat room, so you don't have to scroll up so far to find it. But if you're interested, read what I got to say on there. We'll put together a date and a round table. We'll get together. We'll discuss how to get everybody to wherever it is, even if we have to, you know, do all our designs, you know, remotely, and then send them in to one guy who has the tools to make this part, and one guy who has the tools to make that part, and the next guy who has the skills to take all the parts, ship to them, and put it actually together and show that it can be done. Everybody in the process can benefit. Because if you got a YouTube channel out there and you got Google AdSense, you know, it's their platform, you can make a few pennies off of advertisement while you actually put your video up there of what we're all working on together, and actually help be able to help to finance your own portion of the research. So we're not asking anybody for any upfront nothing. All we're asking is for a little bit of time, a little bit of just... Hearing us out. That's it. If you're interested, you click the link, you fill out the little mini survey down there, a couple, three questions that ask, you know, what it is that you believe in, and then we take that and we put it all together and we build the dream team and we get it done. Even if you don't want to be a part of the dream team, you can get those out there who are able to be part of the dream team and send them our way. If I could get Thomas and Raymond and Justin and Ryan and Terry and Lid Motor and Deeds and Laser Saber and all the different names that I listed off and then some, because there's so many of them, wonderful, brilliant individuals out there that do awesome work. If I could get them folks into a shop for 30 days, I don't even believe it'd take 30 days, but if I could get them into a shop for 30 days, anywhere in this world, we could come out of there with the perfect generator that would solve the so-called energy crisis of the world once and for all. And it would be a physical model that anybody would be invited in to do their calibrations and measurements to see that it does exactly what we said it will do, works exactly how we said it would work, and it would be provable technology right on the table, open to the public from this point on. That's the plan. What do you guys think?
Hello.
Well, that's what old crazy hair Chazes has been up to. Now you know my secret. So anybody got anything they want to talk about? Because I need to step away for a minute.
Who's that?
Raymond, you want to take the microphone for a bit?
I don't know if I can do it, but I'll try.
Well, just put your thoughts out there, man.
I'm going to talk bad about somebody dumb. You know that, right?
And well, then I'll try to hurry so that there ain't a whole lot of bad things said.
Hey, Tom, I don't hear you now.
All right, you got the wheel, brother.
Folks, Ziz just gave me the mic, and I've got a real pet peeve here with Ziz. You know, I love the man with that money, brother. Gosh, dang, man, he can get so stubborn sometimes, especially if somebody tries to help him financially. Come on, give him a break. He's not rich. He's just trying to do things for people. And there are people out there that would really love to help, but he won't take help. Thomas and I are going to design some kind of sign or thing. I have no idea what we're going to do, but we're going to design something that you can take and just iron right onto your t-shirt. It'll last a long time. It's going to be made up to keep the mad science in perspective. We're going to make it out of bioplastic where you can just iron it right onto your t-shirt. It's going to say something like official member of the mad science dream team, because if you donate $5, you get two of these little deals to put on two t-shirts. And in donate, you will actually be a member of the dream team. So, you know, there's people out there that don't have the skills that we need, but they know that we do, and we know people that do. And they want to be part of something very important. And this is important, because what we're trying to do is we're not trying to make money for ourselves. We're just trying to help people out there in the world get a better lifestyle. You know? And
don't forget, it's an iron-on made with a 3D printer, too, so it's made with science.
It's made with a 3D printer, right? That's even more mad science, you know? So, and they'll come in different colors. You can name whatever color you want. But for every $5 that you donate, you get two of them. So the thing is, there are people out there who really want to help. But Shazam is as stone mule-headed as he is, and I love him to death, but that's the only thing I disagree with him on totally, 100%. There's people out there that want to help, but he's denying them that privilege. It is a privilege. I've helped him several times to trick him. I mean, I had to trick him to take donations from me. But the thing is, once I tricked him, he couldn't back up. You know? But a lot of people out there don't know how to trick him into doing that. And you send money, he'll send it back to you. Don't do that. You send money to help him on his research, which will help us as well, because we are a team. We work together. And we can work on the experiment with converting a water-cooled motorcycle engine into burning water, not gasoline. We can work on a lot of other things, too. The cold steam turbine, which will take heat off the backside of your air conditioner, turn it into electricity, and feed it back into your air conditioning, cut your AC bill 35, 40, 45%.
Yeah.
These things are possible.
And you see, Brandon,
100% possible. We just need a little bit of help getting this part, that part, and if you have done somebody that's got a part you need, let us know. You know, that's we're just asking for help.
Raymond?
Not financially help necessarily. We're just asking for any kind of help. And there is no one out there that does not know something or have a little money or whatever that cannot help everybody out there, even if it's just an idea. Please join the team. Give us an idea.
I agree, Raymond. And if we can pull this one project off, we can show the world exactly what we're talking about. And this is just a stepping stone to what we could really accomplish. This whole thing about, you know, building spaceships and interstellar crafts and all that, I believe all that's 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt fully possible. Alright?
Right.
And so...
folks out there, I want you to know that who Shazam is. I don't care how little you send, how much you send. Shazam will open a separate checking account, and all donations will go in that one account, and not one penny, not one penny of that money will go into his or anyone on the Dream Team's pocket. Not one penny. It will go for research and research only. That I give you my word. Go ahead.
So, basically, as far as I'm concerned, now is the do or die moment, the put up or shut up moment. I promised everybody that if I couldn't pull this one off, I wouldn't bother them anymore. You know, I'm a man of my word. If that's like that, I say that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Here we are.
Hey.
What?
Does that mean that you're still going to do the radio show so people who want to tune in can tune in, but you're going to stop going to people's YouTube videos and commenting?
Yeah.
Because that ain't, you putting your show out ain't a bother.
No.
If they really don't want to hear you.
I'm going to keep the radio show going as long as I can possibly keep it going in order to keep the free thinkers going. Because if I am not successful, maybe they will be.
Yes, exactly.
So... What I mean by going away is means I won't...
Hey, so, listen, man, now there's no pressure that can break.
Yeah, what I mean by going away is essentially what Thomas said, I won't bother any other alternative researchers any longer for, you know, assistance in the process of making something happen. You know, if they don't believe in it now... maybe they'll believe in it later on down and they'll recontact me and we'll spark it back up again. But as far as me being the initiator of the conversation, you know, I won't do it. You know, it's like this. I don't want to twist anybody's arm to do anything. I don't want them to feel like I'm trying to pressure them into anything. I don't want them to feel like they're obligated for anything. It's got to be something that we, the people, want to do in order to get it done. Because I know we can get it done. Raymond knows we can get it done. Thomas knows we can get it done. Everyone on the Mad Science Show, they know we can get it done. The resources available out there, you know, per individual, they're scarce. And if we had a people that really wanted and believed in the process of what we're talking about, you know, we could all come together. And it's like, you know, if we all go pitch in on something... It's not hard on the individual. Everybody, you see what I'm trying to say here?
Yep, I do.
Thomas is showing me a light through his lens.
He's building this device for a guy that's actually paying him to do this.
Cool.
Quite a bit of money too. But that thing is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, it's amazing what Thomas can do with that 3D printer.
Yes, it is. It's amazing what he can do with a lot of other things as well.
Yeah, I was impressed when I very first saw Thomas. I ran across one of his deals where he was doing goggles, his steampunk goggles.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked at the craftsmanship that went into what he was doing, man, I said, this is the guy we need on the Dream Team.
Yep.
The first time I saw you was with your video where you were showing the two-stage oscillator, where you were showing how much work that you was actually getting out of this one deal. And so I said, this is a guy we need on the Dream Team. Same thing with all these different individuals out here that I keep talking about. Ryan Abrams, man, I got a Slayer exciter that he built, and, you know, I paid him to build for me. Somebody criticized me for paying him to build it for me, but he does a real good job. It saved me a lot of time, and I got a working device that I can run tests with. So
you're able to support him in his research.
Yeah,
Where's the criticism, the point of criticism there, man?
Basically, was trying to say that I was stupid and I didn't know enough about Tesla technology or Slayer Insiders to build my own. You know, and it wasn't that. I could build it. I mean, it's a simple circuit. We got it posted on the radio deal. But it was convenience. Ryan does a beautiful job building coils, and he did an awesome job putting together the Slayer Insider. It worked whenever I pulled it out of the box. It still works to this very day. And I've done a lot of tests with it. Actually put it on a video and gave him credit for doing it. You know, I didn't say I built it. But the thing is, when I saw his work, the very first time I saw his work, I said, this is the guy we need on the Dream Team. When I saw Deeds, same thing. This is the guy we need on the Dream Team. Sky Collection, we need him on the Dream Team. You know, Laser Saber, Mark Brash over there, Zero Fossil Fuels, we need him on the Dream Team.
Yes, we do.
I'm telling you, these guys out there, when we post links on ShazizRadio.com, it's for a reason. These guys, they're honest, they're decent, they're talented, and the whole purpose was to bring these folks together and be able to do what we've all been trying to do separately. See what I mean?
Yep.
So, Shaziz may be crazy. I may have some crazy looking hair. I may have some crazy videos. I may say things that you totally disagree with, but what I do think I got going on for me is that what we spoke about today here, I don't think there's anybody out there who can deny it's possible to do exactly what we just talked about. What do you think? We take the internal combustion engine and run that thing on water and able to heat your house and produce enough electricity to keep your lights and fans going and your refrigerators, using everything that we know about physics and heat transfer and such. You now have the perfect generator. You now have something that will work in perfect harmony with nature. And if you're worried about it being slightly noisy, we'll show you how to make an insulated box where you don't have to hear it or even see it.
I like that.
See? And ain't nobody can complain about it because there ain't no big blades up in the air chopping birds in half when they fly by. Look, I ain't knocking wind power because I think wind power is a good plus. And it'd be a great supplemental power source. And even solar. So let's say you take everything right now, you put it on the table. We know about the Stirling engine. We can use some of that waste heat to run a Stirling engine, which can turn a generator head. We can have a windmill up in the air that's picking up wind when it's windy. We can have the solar powers when it's sunny, and we can keep dumping that energy into the power banks to the extent that if we don't use that up, we got to get rid of it. So we should be down the power grid.
One day a week on Sundays?
Hey, if it's Sunday we get free electricity, then and we got too much of it, we send it on down to our friends and neighbors who need some.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, man. The first project...
Give them some money so they can put that money they saved into building their own system, and then they can do the same thing.
Yep.
Before you know it, you get a whole community of people that are producing excess power so they can literally cover somebody's electric bill 100% for 6 months while they get save all of the money they would have spent on electric and build their own system to jump in and become part of the pile.
And you know where we can go from there? Or we could go from there is that we could actually, because now we got the energy crisis solved, we could go to the health and food crisis and basically start working on that. We could take the money that we all wasted on electric bills and stuff like that and gas bills and we could pitch in and we could start supporting the alternative food people out there that know about alternative medicine and health benefits and such. We can show people how to eat healthier and basically, look, I know this planet's messed up, but if you got an old 1957 Chevy Bel Air or a 57 Chevy Nomad, you don't throw that work of art in a dump just because it's kind of rough. You get the tools out and you polish it up, you make it better than it was before. And then you come out on the other side with a big smile on your face because now you're driving around in something that was initially right when from the factory, a beautiful work of art, and now you got this work of art, you've taken care of it, it's still around for future generations to see. And we can do the same thing with the entire world. We can polish it up and we can fix it. It's as simple as that. That's what mad science is all about. That's what the whole agenda was to begin with. To try to make this world a better place. And if anybody out there disagrees with it, hey, you know, more power to you. Live life and love just like you always have before. Just pay your electric bill, doggone it. Oh, man. That's the plan. Anybody like the plan? Want to join? Simple. Fill out that little survey so we can put together a list of people and invite them to a special event, Live View. We're gonna live stream it on multiple channels. While I'm live streaming it on my YouTube, they'll be live streaming it on their YouTube. Other people will be live streaming it with Skype. We'll have it on air where the people on the radio show can hear the conversations going about. We'll bring them together. We'll talk about it. Talk about the plausibility. Actually pick a date, pinpoint a spot, a place on this planet to come together. Actually do the work, get it done. We'll make it such an event that everybody out there who wants to, maybe somebody got a snack bar and they want to bring it to the Alternative Energy Convention that we have now converged into one general area or even multiple general areas working on the same project at the same time. And, you know, have fun. And you see what I mean?
Yes, that's an excellent idea. I mean, you come to some land, you gotta eat, you gotta have something to drink, but you come with, campaigners on the wheel, whatever, what the heck, maybe somebody's got a carnival ride, they want to show up so the kids can be entertained with Ronald while dad's over,
You're stepping all over my idea of a caravan of people in murder homes that travel around the country and basically set up shop, and it's like that.
Yeah.
Hey, it works.
Something like this take up 400-500 acres. Full of people are curious about what we're doing and what other people are doing. We're not the only ones out here, you know?
That's right.
There's other, like the Pure Saver, Zero Fossil Fuels, all these guys, they go to all kinds of energy conventions and stuff. I know they would love to come to ours. They would love it.
Well, so I'll tell you what.
Them and doesn't know what's going on.
In my own defense,
a small carnival of people down here, I can contact them and see if in fact one of my lead men is the son-in-law of the lady that owns the carnival. I see if she'd be interested in taking the carnival rides out there. And, you know, that's a special deal for people. You know, so they come and enjoy it. Make it more like having fun. You learn.
In my own defense, folks, OSHA's is might have some crazy here, and I might have my own personal issues or whatever, but I tell you one thing's for sure, I believe in the dream wholeheartedly. I know that it's possible, and if I can bring these folks together and with their mind to supplement what my mind doesn't have, and with their skills to supplement with my skills, we could all complement one another to actually, you know, one person doesn't build a house. You got a roofer, you got a plumber, you got somebody who can hang drywall, you got an electrician, you got somebody who does concrete and framing and all that kind of stuff. You bring that team together, you got yourself a business, you got yourself a house. It's that simple. We can resolve this all so-called energy crisis / global warming / climate change all in one go and have fun doing it. So, I may sound crazy, but it is possible. That's my defense. What do you think? It looks like Thomas is showing us some adrenal circuits.
Not quite. Some of them are before that. Little circuits that I picked up for a specific project, but they were so much to buy just one.
Yep.
Getting multiples of them just it was stupid not to. Like, we're talking $2 or $3 for one, or $5 for five of them.
Cool.
So actually, some of them they were about $1 a piece, or they were like $2 for five.
Yeah, I'm amazed by some of the technology they got out there. Some of the circuitry you can buy, and man, those pieces of the puzzle you got right there in your hand, dude. I'm telling you, there's so much that could be done in electronics and in mechanical that if the average Joe was to come together and swap the ideas that they know about everything under the sun, from running RC cars to physics and science and all that, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we couldn't accomplish. Seriously. And we do it in the hands of the people, by the people, for the people. And isn't that what it was all about? The alternative energy, alternative food, alternative to the crazy system that's running you ragged and making everybody have to work themselves to death just to try to survive and stay warm.
You know, there's a conundrum out there. A lot of people, I don't think, really know it exists. But you can take a mule that can pull 1,000 pounds, cannot pull 1,001. You take another mule that can pull 1,000 pounds, cannot pull 1,001. You hook them together, and you would expect them to pull 2,000 pounds, correct?
Well, yeah.
Well, they won't. They'll pull exactly 25% more than the combined efforts of the two.
Yep, there you go, man.
So you can get 2,250 pounds worth of pull out of 2 1,000-pound mules?
Nope. You get 2,500 pounds.
Hmm.
Each mule pulls 1,000 pounds. You combine them, you get 25.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 250 times two.
Now, here is the real conundrum. You take those two mules and another two mules, you and put them on a team, you would expect them to pull 5,000 pounds. Nope. They pull exactly 25% more, which would be 6,250 pounds.
But either way, by combining the mules, you can get more work done, and everybody has to work less than they did before.
Break it down into Latin, e pluribus unum. That into English, together we stand, divided we fall.
Yep.
That's what we're trying to do.
By all right. Up
this science fair, we're trying to get people involved. Come together. Work together.
All right, folks. Well, there you go. That's the Mad Science Show in a nutshell. We got to wrap it up. It's that time again. I hope you stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table. Maybe...
Hey, listen, man. My final words, since I know we're getting down to that point. You and I need to sit down then and work this week on putting that little store thing together to try to put some funds together to go ahead and get this little shindig going once we get the people that are interested in coming together.
That sounds like a plan.
Everybody listening?
But let's not plan, though. Let's do.
I'm hip. I'm there.
Think you might be able to put something in the chat line so this can see roughly how many people are wanting to come, wanting to be taken part in the fair. Please.
Well, everybody click on that link, and we'll repost it after the show here, and everybody click on that link, fill out a little survey, we'll put a list together of people who are interested, and we'll contact them all.
What's your favorite colors in there, too?
Do a live... Huh?
What's your favorite colors? Pop that in there, too.
My favorite colors?
No, these people, when they're posting, you need to put the favorite colors in there. You can put yours in there, too, man. Come on. Mm. Everybody.
Cool.
We want their favorite color so that we can build the emblems and iron on their shirts so that each person can get their favorite color.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's it, folks. Mad Science in its finest. I hope you stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table. www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html if you want to join in on the chat. If you like our podcast, repost them out there to your social media networks. And if you like the plan, then share it with everybody and his brother and then some, and we can actually make this thing happen. If you want to take your electric bill and kick it to the curb, then let us help you do it. and help us to help you. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.